Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on April 12th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Joe. I am, you know, we had a fairly gloomy, gray, chilly, damp winter, and all of a sudden, it's like spring has sprung. The weather the last couple of days has been great. The wind is crazy, but the sun is out. The sun is out, at least. So I am doing well. You know how I am. I get up in the morning, and if there's sunshine coming through the windows, I'm a happy person.
It was very blustery down at the beach yesterday. I mean, it was a high tide, and it was interesting.
But yeah. Good. But as I said, at least the sun is out. You know, we're not in the what was somebody calling it? April vapory or so, I don't know. Somebody was making up a name like May Gray or June Gloom. But anyway, yeah. Anytime the sun is out, I'm in a good mood. Although I have to tell you, about 4 o'clock this morning, something crashed into one of my windows and woke me up. It didn't break the window, but it was howling out there so much that you know, a tree branch or something slammed against the house, and I was like, "What is that?" It's all good.
Great, good. I'm excited. It's going to be a great weekend for the farmers market. I'm looking forward to that. All things good.
Well, I'm very excited about today's topic because you know how I always explain the South Bay. You know, the South Bay is a bubble, but within the bubble, there are several other bubbles. And one of the bubbles that we're going to be talking about today, it's one of my favorite places in the South Bay. There's so much going on there, and they're not resting on their laurels. They keep on. They just keep on keeping on. So I'm very excited about our topic today.
I am as well. Of course, this particular place houses the mighty Wurlitzer, which is one of our favorite places to go.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that and other things. Jackie, who's our guest today? Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Barbara Voss, Economic Development Manager for the City of El Segundo, Jay Hoschler. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. We'll figure that out in a minute. He's the partner and design director of Avid Trails, and Marsha Hansen, president, CEO of the El Segundo Chamber of Commerce. Now, Barbara Voss joined the city of El Segundo in August 2015 and serves as the city's economic development manager. She has extensive experience in managing business attraction, retention, and expansion initiatives for state and local government, as well as experience in tax advisory and real estate development consulting. Now, prior to joining the city of El Segundo, Barbara was a senior regional manager for the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation. She holds a master's degree in business administration from Loyola Marymount University. University and a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of California at San Diego. Marcia Hansen was born and raised in Logansport, Indiana. She graduated from Purdue University with a BA in Public Relations. Now, after working at Hyatt Hotels in the Midwest, she found herself in Southern California working in the hotel industry, eventually landing in El Segundo at the DoubleTree Hotel as the Director of Sales. She quickly became involved in the community, serving on the Board of Directors for the Chamber of Commerce for 6 years and as of the Chamber. Now, during that time, Marcia co-chaired the Richmond Street Festival Committee, the annual holiday parade, and several other events. After a call from the El Segundo Chamber in 2007, Marcia found her way back to El Segundo to serve as the CEO of the Chamber. Now, in this position, she leads a membership group ranging from Fortune 500 companies to innovative startups to successful mom and pops working together and collaborating to make El Segundo a productive and wonderful place to be. Marcia continues to be an active member of the Rotary Club of El Segundo, serves on the Chevron Community Advisory Panel, the City of El Segundo Downtown Committee, and volunteers with the El Segundo Education Foundation. Now, El Segundo resident Jay Hostler is a founding partner of Avid Trails, a national planning and design firm specializing in hiking and biking trail systems for communities, parks, and municipalities. Fitness and health are at the core of Avid Trails, which often feature a variety of Avid stations custom designed for group fitness and cross-training activities. He is also the founder and creative director of Studio Launchpad, a design and graphics firm, a graphic design and branding firm with an emphasis of creating brands and placemaking for some of America's most successful residential and mixed-use community developments. His creative team has won an armful of national awards, including top honors for National Association of Home Builders, with multiple Best Advertising Campaign and Best Sales Environment awards. He is a council member of the Urban Land Institute, the worldwide coalition formed to advance land use policies and design practices that respect the uniqueness of both the built environment and natural environments. Now, this morning, we're going to learn about the recent downtown El Segundo beautification efforts designed to improve the look and feel of Main Street. The initiatives are being led by the city's downtown committee, of which we have three members with us today. So, Barbara, Marcia, Jay, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Wonderful to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's as there are many things in El Segundo that are exciting. There's Sleepy Hollow, which is a favorite of Jackie and I. And then, of course, there's the Mighty Wurlitzer, as I spoke about at the Old Town Music Hall, which is a national treasure. Unbelievable. When I discovered it, I was absolutely amazed. I mean, I think every major city in the United States should have a Mighty Wurlitzer, but we have one in El Segundo. So let me start with you, Marcia, because it is unusual that a woman is the chief executive of the local chamber, and I want you to talk about that for a moment and talk about what it's like to be the chief executive of the chamber in a city that features a number of Fortune 500 companies.
El Segundo is such a special place. As you mentioned, I was from Logansport, Indiana, and made my way to L.A. after college. And, of course, my parents were scared to death of their little girl moving to L.A. And then I found El Segundo, and it was like home. It's a lovely, lovely community that is a different community than I've ever seen before. The nighttime population is about 16,000 people. The daytime population soars to 70, 75,000 people due to those Fortune 500 companies and everyone locating here in El Segundo. I married into an El Segundo family. My husband's a third-generation El Segundo high school graduate. His grandma was a city treasurer. It just has that very comfortable, homey feel. I was walking down Main Street the other day. Everyone says hello. It's a very special place. And I feel very fortunate to be here at the Chamber. I was on the board for many years, as you mentioned. And when they asked me to come be the CEO, I jumped on it. I was thrilled to do so because it is a special community.
Right. And these times and in these places where, you know, people are looking for more affordable housing. People are looking for a place near the ocean from the west side, from other places in Los Angeles. The South Bay, it's been discovered, but the South Bay continues to be discovered, and El Segundo is one of those places that people say to themselves, oh my gosh, this is a great place. I would love to live here. And so home prices and everything has soared over the years. What else would you say to people who maybe don't know about El Segundo that you know, this is why it's such a great place?
Yeah, well, you know, we're located right on Main Street, the Chamber office, and almost every week someone walks in and said, oh my gosh, I didn't know you were here. And it's the, you know, the schools are outstanding. El Segundo has its own school district. They own police
right.
department. They own fire department. It's very much a self-contained city. And I think that the home prices are very high all along the beach cities. Like I said, way higher
right.
than you can get in other areas. But I think that the quality of life that one receives, you were talking about the weather earlier in the show, it's beautiful every day. So it is a remarkable place, and the economic growth and the development going on in the community is really quite amazing. Turning around, I'm sure Barbara will talk about this, but from the aerospace capital of the world to a very creative biotech type of area where there's a very wide variety. I mean, not to mention the Los Angeles Lakers and the LA Kings, right? So it's very exciting in the community, and it's a great place to live, work, and play.
Next, Barbara, I want to talk about the city from your perspective, but I have to tell you, Barbara, my children grew up in Hermosa Beach, and one of our biggest rivals was the El Segundo Little League, and the El Segundo Little League, strangely enough, has a national history. I mean, there are several National League players, Major League Baseball players that come from the El Segundo Little League system. It's strange for such a small system.
Yeah, well, I think that's all part of us being a very close-knit family community. And I think the activities here bring kids out, and Little League's one of them. And the families are involved, the parents are coaches, the community's out supporting, and I think that helps to build, the energy and the involvement in the community. And I think the results show for themselves that, you know, we have a lot of successful athletes who come out of our Little League.
Right. So where did the idea of a beautification project come up? I mean, why beautification as a lead?
Right. So, well, we find our downtown to be already beautiful. There's so many nice new restaurants coming in and a lot of momentum growing here. We've got our El Segundo Brewing Company, founded by a longtime resident and an active Little League person as well, Rob Croxall, and his family is here and has been here for years and generations. And then, so he has his tasting room and brewery right in our downtown. And then we have, of course, Rock and Brew across the street. The first Rock and Brew here in El Segundo, and it's become more of a chain now. And then just right across from Rock and Brew, you have Sausal, which to me is one of the best restaurants. The food is incredible there, and it's very unique. And I always tell people that, is it Mexican? It's not really Mexican. They describe it as rancho cuisine. And the flavor is just, to me, I've never had anything like it. It's one of a kind. And then, you know, recently we had Brewport open across the street from that, and we have Esmoa, our museum of art. So it's really just building and building and building over time. And the way that this initiative started was with our city council every year goes into a strategic planning process where they look at the budget and they decide where to allocate funds and what the priorities are for the next year. And in that process, the downtown was identified as an area that they wanted to invest in a little bit more this year. And just to make it even more inviting, improving landscaping, maybe adding something. And they didn't know exactly what shape that would take. So that's the initial, is that city council determined that that was going to be a priority for this year. And routine maintenance of downtown is always a priority, but they wanted to put a little extra into it this year. And then from that, city council said, looked out to the community and said, we want to hear from our community what improvements are needed. What does the community want to see in our downtown? The people who use visit the restaurants and walk the streets and you know, sit on our benches and enjoy our downtown on a daily basis, what do they want? What are they seeing? So that was the impetus for forming the downtown committee, and then I was asked to put the downtown committee together, and that's how it started.
I have to ask you a question, Barbara. I have to ask you a question, Barbara.
Yes.
I think it was it last year or the year before that ESMOA did a project where they asked for community input. I don't know that it was strictly beautification, but
yes.
it more on the creative end. Was that a part of this, or was that the jumping off point, or did somebody look at how did that have anything to do with this?
It was a separate thing, but I think it does all kind of tie together. So Eva Sweeney is the founder and director of the ESMOA, the art museum, and she had a very creative idea of sort of doing a call to artists to select different parts of the city and do some design and imaginative projects and display those to what this could look like. Some very, very futuristic, some more traditional. So no, that came out of ESMOA. But I think that generate more interest in arts and culture in El Segundo, which is something that we're also focusing on.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got it all going on there. Your art walk is one of my favorite events of the year. I have not missed one of them.
Great.
You have so many creative businesses and individuals. It's unbelievable. It's great.
Yes, the art walk is a wonderful event that happens the third Thursday of each of the summer months, so June, July, and August, third Thursday. And it was started by a group of just creative, engaged people who thought it was a cool idea to have in El Segundo. And they got their friends together, and the word started to spread. And I think that sort of speaks to our community, that we're a small town, and people know each other, and people talk to each other, and they collaborate. And that's really it makes it such an energetic place. And it creates this vibrancy. And we have really smart people here, really great artists and creative people in all sorts of different industries. And so the Art Walk is one of the results of that, that they said, hey, let's get some artists together, and we'll help our businesses, we'll open our doors, and we'll show the world what we have here. And it turned out really great, really great. I love that event.
Now, Jay, I want to ask Jay a question about planning. And of course, most people don't know that the city of El Segundo was given its name by what's his name?
The guy from
Oil?
Standard
Mr.
Oil.
Chevron. Yes.
Mr.
The guy
no,
from Standard
Mr.
Oil. It was the guy from
Standard
Oil, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wasn't here in 1912 or whenever that happened, but that's a true story.
Are you sure?
Right. tell us about planning. When you and Jay, I know, you know, planners, designers love blueprints and love maps. When you look at a map of El Segundo and you think about planning, and then you think about planning for people, What do you think about El Segundo? How do you categorize El Segundo as a place?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad you brought up planning. I'm also a planning commissioner here in the city of El Segundo, but you know, El Segundo is in the throes of a transformation, probably unlike any city in Los Angeles. As you mentioned, the refinery was the impetus of this town. That's the first thing that was here. And for the first 60, 70, 80 years, it was a very industrial town. The area you described as Smoky Hollow before actually got its name because, you know, for good or bad, there was, you know, it was close to the refinery, and this was back in the 50s or 40s when air quality was not as stringent, the restrictions, but that name stuck. But what has happened is all this industry is being replaced by creative businesses. There are creative shops coming in here, and that includes aerospace, that includes marketing and media. And so there's this transformation from a very industrial city to a very livable, energetic, vibrant town. And I don't see that happening anywhere else in Los Angeles. It's really exciting. So that's one of the things that's driving up property values and bringing businesses here and causing people to want to be here and move here. So when we think about planning, we think about how do people use things. In the old days, people would drive their car to their office and get out and walk to their office and sit in their office and be there for 8 hours and punch out and then get back in their car and drive home. And that world's different now. We have different transportation needs. We want people to be able to get out and walk to lunch. We want them to ride a bike to down the street. We want people to get out and engage with each other on streetscapes. So planning is really about how people use things. And so that lens, that filter is what the city's using right now as we transform and change zoning laws to allow businesses and people to use some of these formerly industrial areas as brand new, exciting stuff. You know, let me give you a quick example. The Point at the corner of El Segundo Boulevard and Rosecrans, which honestly, right. I think a lot of people think that's in Manhattan Beach. That's the corner of El Segundo. And that used to be a very industrial, might have been a tank farm for the refinery. It was a brownfield for a lot of years. And that has transformed into a gem in the town. I mean, I'm sure you've been there. It's fun to walk around.
That's my favorite Whole Foods.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my favorite Whole Foods.
That's a good example of the transformation.
That's at the plaza at El Segundo. There's the Point, and plaza at El Segundo. Yes, the Point.
They're side by side.
Yes, side by side. Yes.
So that's what planning is all about for us right now.
Well, it's a fascinating area, and it's a fascinating subject for El Segundo because planning, you know, bordered on to the south by Chevron and to the north by the airport. There's a limited amount of space, and there are some neighborhoods in El Segundo that look like they looked in the 40s. I mean, for a few blocks here and there, almost in any direction you turn, it looks very much like it did many, many years ago, and other places are in transition. How do you manage that, and how do you think about that when you're from a public policy standpoint, Barbara?
As far as the housing, or?
Well, you can't do much with housing, but those public spaces or parks, bike trails. My daughter went to school in Davis, California, at UC Davis, and they often say about UC Davis, there are more bicycles than people. And they have overpasses, not for cars, but for bikes.
For bikes, right.
Yes.
So that is something that we obviously are all talking about here at the city. We are looking at bike share. There's various different bike share programs across LA County that are of interest to us. Our planning department, I know, is looking at the sort of smart street model where there is space for a bike lane as well as space for cars to travel through. But we want to do, and that also, I think, encourages the connectivity between the eastern side of El Segundo, where you have the majority of the businesses. We also have quite a few businesses in the Smoky Hollow area and, of course, downtown. But there are the majority of those 50,000 people who come to work in El Segundo are coming to the eastern side of the city. And we want them to come and maybe jump on a bike and come across PCH and visit our downtown and come to our restaurants and experience our parks and, you know, maybe stay after work and have a corporate soccer league or, you know, things like that. We want to definitely tie the community together, and I think that transportation element of it without everybody jumping in one car each, the bikes and the scooters and things like that are something that we want to encourage.
Could we have a bike overpass over PCH?
Well, that's a very big idea.
I could not answer that definitively right now.
Some sort of overpass would create connectivity, obviously, and it would be you know, something that would encourage people to get out of their cars and explore the rest of the city. The logistics of that, though, would have to be studied.
Right. There are some. I was just recently at City Hall in Inglewood, California, and Inglewood is very interesting place, especially their City Hall, their downtown area. They have overpasses or walkways over major streets that make it feel very interesting and very kind of. You can bike across, you can walk across, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, we are actually seeing that in some of our businesses, that they're connecting buildings in that way, creating bridges between buildings and things like that to connect different sets of employees, you know, different divisions. So I do think that's a really good model for connection. And, you know, Inglewood, of course, is going to be going through some very, very significant changes in the near future with the stadium and things. So I know they have a lot of planning that they're doing.
I have a friend of a friend who moved to Inglewood because as a new family, I mean, they just started their family. They had one child. They had another child on the way. They moved to Inglewood because that was the only place that they could afford to buy a home. In a space of 2 years, the value of their home tripled.
Wow.
And they are seriously considering not moving now because another 2 years, well, the stadium isn't even built yet, another $1 billion and another 2 years, their home might double again in value.
Inglewood's very interesting. We're really looking at here in El Segundo, we've got 14 hotels. I don't know if people know that. We have 14 hotels in El Segundo, about 2,500 hotel rooms. And it is a different experience being here in El Segundo because, as we mentioned, we do have that small town feel and that quiet community and really nice new hotels. And we think that if people are coming to go to a game in Inglewood, they really would enjoy staying here, setting this up as a home base, and maybe visiting some of the communities around that are, you know, there's a lot of different exciting things going on in the South Bay, as you know from this podcast. And we like to think of El Segundo as a nice home base to visit all of those things.
You know, it's so interesting, Barbara. I get a lot of inquiries through my website about people are coming, they're flying into LAX for whatever reason, and they have a several hour layover, and
yes,
they're like, well, what can I do, where can I go? And the first thing I tell them is downtown El Segundo, don't miss it, that's the place to go. As Joe was saying earlier, you know, he mentioned the Wurlitzer. He has a love affair with the Wurlitzer. And somebody else mentioned you've got the Lakers practice facility. You've got the Kings practice facility. You've got you've got the automobile drive. There's so much to do in El Segundo. You have world class facilities in your small town. And by the way, I thought your residential account was like 20. It's only 16,000. I thought it was closer to 20,000.
It's between 16 and 17. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Hey, Joe.
So we do. That is a good point. We have, you know, the Lakers just built their new headquarters. It's the UCLA Health Training Center, home of the Lakers. And if you haven't seen that yet, it's an incredible building. All the Lakers executive offices and the leadership team and all the players, of course, practice there. And the South Bay Lakers play there. And you can go catch a South Bay Lakers game here in El Segundo. And then, of course, the LA Kings down the street have their training facility that they're expanding, and all of their offices and all of their administrative group is there. So we are home to the Lakers and the Kings. So that's very exciting for us, too. And you mentioned the Automobile Driving Museum.
Yeah, right.
What an amazing place. You can see cars from every era. They have an incredible collection. And they have a program where they will let you sit in the car as it drives, drives around the block, and kind of get that real experience with some of the vehicles. And they have events, and they're very active too, and a great part of our community.
We love the Automobile Driving Museum. Hey, Joe, let's do a quick station break, and when we come back, I want to get into the details about these beautification efforts and what exactly you're doing downtown.
Sounds good.
Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking downtown El Segundo beautification. And we have three great guests with us today to talk about that: Barbara Voss, Marcia Hansen, and Jay Hoschler. We're excited about it. It's something that a place that most people in the South Bay have visited many times. But you never, see everything when you visit a place. There's always more to see, and El Segundo is a special place, and we're excited to talk about it. But, of course, we'd love to talk to you. If you are listening live and you'd like to ask a question, we'd love to have your question or comment. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714, area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. Please join us. And so now we want to talk about the particulars. What are the particulars? I'll start with you, Jay, as a citizen planner on the Planning Commission. What are the particulars of the beautification efforts, and how extensive? Give us an idea, for those people that know El Segundo well, what areas are being targeted?
Sure. So we have formed a downtown committee, which I'm a member of. Barbara, co-guest here, heads it up. The downtown committee has put together a list of priorities, and we've picked five or six initiatives to focus on for downtown. And to back up a tiny bit, the reason we're doing this, we've been talking about all the great improvements around El Segundo, Smoky Hollow, east side of Sepulveda, parts of Main Street. And so what we're trying to do is bring the real gem, the jewel of this town is our Main Street. And so we're trying to infuse even more life and vibrancy into this area. So we're doing things like landscaping, a major landscape renovation. We're bringing in more trees. We know from planning that shade is always great when you're walking down the street or you're sitting out at a cafe table. It's nice to have some natural shade. So we're bringing in larger trees. Lots of color, lots of flowers. Many of these plants are xeriscape. Well, all the plants are water sensitive, and we've got a city horticulturalists who are working on picking out the right plants to be the right mix of color and form. So lots of planting is going on. That's fun. We are installing lights, string lights overhead at intersections and hopefully up and down the streets to add some life to the night scene. So that's a fun addition. And art. We're looking at adding a lot of public art to our public spaces and to the streetscape along the sidewalks. So We're working with the El Segundo Museum of Art to find artists, a little call to artists, and so that'll be a nice touch. What else, Barbara? What else is on our list that we're focusing on?
Well, you did a really good job of covering most of it. Yeah, we're looking into just the landscaping. We have planter boxes or planting areas all up and down Main Street. And we want to make sure that all of the landscapes has sort of a uniform and drought-tolerant look. So we have selected plants, as Jay mentioned, that won't require a lot of water. And we're thinking about drought and conservation, and we still want it to look good, but to be responsible in that way as well. So we've got all that planted. We've got a few more to go, and then we're adding, I think a total of, we're probably adding about 20 trees to the downtown area. We've already got a lot of beautiful trees that, as spring approaches, are starting to really look even more beautiful now. We're also talking about maintenance ongoing. You know, as people come into downtown, we have more maintenance needs. And we have a dedicated person now who's going to be working in our downtown area to do maintenance of the landscaping. And so we want to encourage everyone to, use the trash receptacles that we have and keep it nice on their own. But we also need a little bit of additional help there. So we've got that coming out of the downtown committee. We have a contract employee who is focused just on that area, which will be nice. Longer term, we're looking at directional signage. People come to our downtown and they're not quite sure where to park sometimes, and parking's always an issue. And we think long term, we'd like to have people come on their bikes and walk and have that kind of mobility in the city. But as of now, people do still take their cars and need a place to park. We have parking garages. We have parking lots and a garage. We have available parking, but sometimes people say they don't exactly know where it is, so we want to make some of those more obvious to people, like, you can park here, it's okay, and those spaces sometimes remain empty because people don't know that they're allowed to park there, so we want to improve that signage. We're looking at maybe some new events. Our Public Works Department recently, for our farmers market that we have every Thursday, from 3 to 7, which is a wonderful farmer's market. They've installed some bollards, removable bollards in the street right in front of City Hall to kind of block that area of farmer's market. We're thinking we can use that area as maybe some other kind of events, some sort of Taste of El Segundo or different things that will bring the restaurants and the community together and visitors to experience some other things in our downtown. And, yeah, so that's really some of the top priorities.
Let's go.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was just going to say one other big idea that's in the works that's really fun for downtown is we're investigating the design and construction of a parklet, which is a temporary space, a quasi-permanent space that gives people more room to sit out on the street, to have cafe-style seating, some umbrellas. You know, we live in Southern California. The weather is beautiful. Jackie, I heard how excited you get when it's sunny out. We want more people out on the streets enjoying this beautiful weather. It's amazing how little outdoor dining there is in the South Bay when you really look at it. So we're coming up with ideas to expand even more outdoor seating area with these parklets, and so we're excited about that as well.
So I wanted to go back to the trees. You mentioned shade trees, which, you know, several years ago, Pier Avenue did a beautification effort, infrastructure improvements on Pier Avenue, and they did a fantastic job. If you walk down that street 10, 15 years ago, you don't get the feel of what it is now. You know, they put in benches, redid hardscape, landscape, and Riviera Village is currently undergoing the same process. They're doing it in sections, block by block. But what I've noticed for both of those is that they are sticking with palm trees. Now, palm trees have their place, but they're not particularly good shade trees. So. Yeah, and your Main Street, well, frankly, your whole downtown, it's the perfect setting for shade trees. Does that make it? Am I making sense?
Yes.
I'm trying to explain. It's
absolutely.
Yes, the way the downtown, the streets, it's just made for shade trees. That's what
right.
you're leaning towards. You're not going to go for that classic Southern California look with lines of palm trees.
No, we're actually not. I know that's a good point. We have an arborist, and we've learned, and I think all cities have learned from planting different trees, that certain trees can be very, their root systems can be very invasive and pull up the sidewalk and cause buckling.
The dreaded ficus.
Well, we don't want that.
The dreaded ficus tree. Oh, my goodness.
We don't want that. But at the same time, we don't want trees that don't provide any shade and don't have a canopy. So we've selected a tree that does really well in this marine climate, that does really well in a drier climate. It's a Marina strawberry tree. And they're not huge trees. They're not going to grow 50 feet because we want to keep in mind that our retailers and restaurants do need that storefront presence. So we don't want trees that block everything. But we want them to grow into a nice, maybe a 30-foot tree with a nice canopy and keep them well-maintained. And so that's what we're going for. We're not planting any palm trees. We are going for the canopy and the shade providing trees. We are also looking in some areas, the addition of just a few crepe myrtles, because we love that pop of, now they're deciduous, so they won't have leaves all year long, but they do have that beautiful bloom and pop of color.
Mm-hmm.
In the springtime. And so we don't want to do too many of those because we don't want the lack of canopy in the winter because we really don't have a winter. So we want just a few of those kind of in front of the City Hall area to give a bright, vibrant color when they do bloom.
That's, you know, it's so amazing how much it's amazing the thought process that has to go into planting trees.
It is.
As you said, there are the dreaded ficus trees that, you know, if anybody's, you know, ever driven up Sepulveda into Westchester, you can see the damage it does to sidewalks. But as you and Jay both brought up, you don't want anything that's going to suck up the water. You know, you want
right.
stuff, you know, drought tolerant that works with the marine environment. And in addition to the mess, you know, elms, maples, oak trees, you know, they all shed. And somebody's got to clean it up. But on the other hand, you've got the beautiful, like the jacaranda trees, which beautiful lilac purple blooms, but they make such a mess,
right?
An incredible mess. So it's such a balancing act
it
finding
is.
The right trees. It is,
and we've had that with in our committee as well.
I just want to point out that Jackie's knowledge of trees that make a mess is encyclopedic.
It is. I'm very impressed.
Well, no, it's something I notice walking around, driving around, especially in the spring, you know, when everything's blooming, you know, and some of these trees are just beautiful. And I love looking at them, but they do, a lot of them do make a mess. And as
yeah.
I said, somebody has to clean it up, and certain trees will stain the sidewalk and stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
So we talk about that quite a lot. We have a city arborist, someone who is an expert on trees, as part of our downtown committee. He's within our Rec and Parks department, and they have done a fantastic job in advising us and guiding us and helping us to understand, okay, this is a tree that will grow in this way, and, you know, living things do shed leaves and droppings and things like that. So we kind of have to balance that out. There will be some. There's no tree that has, you know, doesn't need to be cleaned up after a little bit. But we had a lot of help there.
Oh, and don't forget the eucalyptus trees. They shed their bark. They're a mess. But the other idea is, you know, the trees that do shed like that, the jacarandas and the cherry blossoms, you know, in parks they work, you know, maybe not necessarily on the street, you know, where, you know, people are walking and dining and stuff, but in parks, in your parklet, things like that.
Right.
Yeah, and we do have the trees are typically not just sticking out of a cutout in the sidewalk. There are fairly large beds for these trees. And so leaves that do fall or flowers that do fall, they tend to mostly end up in the flower beds. But as Barbara pointed out, we also do have a full-time person dedicated to downtown for maintenance, for daily pruning and watering, and essentially keeping the place clean. So we think we've got that whole system pretty well in check.
Yep.
Well, this is exciting. I mean, there are a lot of pieces, a lot of moving parts, but it's very exciting, Barbara, that this is taking place. Now, how would you like people, both residents of El Segundo and people from outside, how would you like them to track the downtown beautification efforts? What can we look to see for changes and sort of milestones and things like that?
So we just did, we want to do regular committee updates. So we just posted something on our website, elsegundo.org, the city's website, and it's right there on the homepage. And it's a bullet-pointed memo of all of the things that we've been working on, things that are nearly complete, things that are in progress. So that our website's a good place. We'll also do posts on Facebook. The City of El Segundo has a Facebook page. Downtown El Segundo and the Chamber of Commerce both have a Facebook page, and we are pretty good about sharing each other's posts and keeping the communication going to our various audiences. So those are really the two best ways. And then, of course, come down and take a look for yourself and see what we're working on, because I think over the next probably we have some longer-term things. Over the next couple of weeks, the lights at the intersection, the twinkle lights, are going to be installed, which is going to make a big difference in lighting and ambiance. The dining deck / parklet that we're looking at, that's going to be a longer-term project because we need to do a bidding process and review designs and things like that and make sure we've got that right. But that's going to be really neat, and we'll certainly post that and announce that on Facebook and get the word out that way. I also wanted to mention that we in our committee, it's 20 people, and there's so much interest in our community in being part of this committee, and we invite people to attend the meetings and things, but internally, our city staff has been so incredibly helpful because this is all public right-of-way stuff. Our public works department has been doing the, reviewing and making sure that everything is done properly and doing the installation of things. And our recreation and parks department has been the landscaping. Our planning department has been looking at existing conditions and where we can improve signage and seating and things like that. So we've really got a good team that's making this possible and giving us the momentum that we have.
You know, speaking of team, Marcia,
yes.
What role does the business community, what role is the business community playing in this? Did you get feedback from them? Did they come to you with ideas?
I think Marcia may have dropped off the call. I don't know if we can call her back. But I can certainly jump in with the...
you guys go ahead and I will get her back.
So the question was the role of the community?
Yes.
Yes.
The business, the business community.
Yeah. The business community, of course. Okay. So when we formed the downtown committee, we wanted members of the business community in the downtown area. We wanted property owners. We wanted business owners. We wanted people, residents. So a wide swath of people who would be using the downtown and understand the downtown and have experienced, over time, the transformation of our downtown. So we've got a business owner and property owner. We've got the owner of El Segundo Brewing Company. We've got the jewelry source owner, which is a beautiful And I love to go in there. A beautiful jewelry store right in our downtown. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce. We have the owner of the Blue Butterfly Coffee Cafe, which is right in one of our central downtown areas. We really have a cross section.
Marcia, I was asking you before I realized you dropped. What role the business community is playing in this effort?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back. I missed you all.
Sorry.
You know, it's very exciting to see the businesses excited about this. We're having people call us saying, how do we get involved? Business owners saying, how do we get involved? And, you know, I've been with the Chamber for about 10 years now, and, you know, projects like this come and go, right? You know, people get excited about it, and sometimes it dwindles off, and they get excited about it again. This is really sustainable. People are seeing the improvements on Main Street. I have business owners coming in saying, how can I get involved? What can I do to my storefront to make my storefront look as good as the downtown's looking? And I think it's a great collaborative effort that really makes things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we just had a new company the other day who they bought one of the big buildings at Richmond and Grand Avenue. It's an old hotel, and he came in and he said, I'm so excited about really bringing a jewel to the downtown area, and may I come to the downtown meetings and help get involved and contribute what I have. And that is really nice to hear, because I think it's really going to – it takes everyone to make it special.
Yeah, it's as I said, El Segundo is one of my favorite sections of the South Bay. As we haven't mentioned it yet, but a lot of people refer to it as Mayberry by the Sea, and it's an apt name. It's you get that small town feel for the most part because of your location, bordered by the ocean to the west, the refinery to the south, the airport to the north, and your main thoroughfare, Sepulveda Boulevard. You know, I always say, if you didn't know about El Segundo, downtown El Segundo, you wouldn't know it was there, because you have to go find it. You know,
yeah.
you have to, you know, make a right or a left and deliberately go there. And I think that's the biggest reason why the city has managed to hang on to the character it has. You have a lot of historic structures, not on the National Register thing necessarily, but older structures. You have
mm-hmm.
old factories and warehouses. You have Quonset huts, barns,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the industrial days that have all been repurposed. Most of them have been repurposed, as you said, with your creative population that has discovered El Segundo.
Yeah, and I think the
That's
creative
right. –
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Jackie and Joe, you guys were so awesome about helping us promote the 100th anniversary of El Segundo last year, as it started in 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And these places have been around for 100 years. And the Main Street started in 1923. And there's so many good things still happening. Sorry, Barbara.
Oh, that's okay.
you know, it's so funny. When I went, I'd been to El Segundo several times, but basically just stuck in the Main Street area. And the first time I went to the first art walk, I didn't take the shuttle. I was walking. I was into just going from point to point. And I was walking by. There were a couple of Quonset huts on this street. And I'm looking at them as I'm walking by, and I'm like, wow. And then I saw a guy with grocery bags going in, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, people live there. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me, Jackie, you wanted to live in one?
I would totally live in one. What are you going to say,
Jackie? Those very Quonset huts that you were describing, that's kind of the heart of Smoky Hollow. And in fact, next Thursday, the 19th, there is a public open house. It's on the city's website, but they will be describing, we will be describing all the new uses of Smoky Hollow. It's basically a rezone. And so it's an opportunity on the 19th to see what's going to happen in Smoky Hollow. It'll be a really great, exciting evening.
Okay, wait a minute. Why don't I know about this? Nobody sent me this information. Somebody has to send me this information.
I will send you the information.
Right.
It's at Big Door Studios.
Okay.
One of our fantastic creative businesses that's in our Smoky Hollow. They've opened their doors to our community, and I think it's from 5 to 7 in the evening,
Is it later? 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Thank you.
I've got the flyer right here.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. And it's going to be.
And
I was going to say just rolling presentations, so you don't have to be there from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can come on the half hour. They'll be doing the presentations, and there'll be refreshments and photographs and people there to answer questions. And so it's really a great opportunity to learn about some of the updates to the specific plan for the planning document for the Smoky Hollow area.
Mr. Max Yaffe of Big Door Studios has opened his facility for numerous events.
Yes.
One of your active, very active players in El Segundo. Great.
Absolutely.
Facility. Been there several times. All right. So, Joe, we've got 5 minutes left, 5-6 minutes left here.
Right.
Marcia, anything? Give us some contact information, websites, phone numbers where people can go to find out about everything that's going on.
You bet. Check out the Chamber's website at elsegundochamber.com. We list all of the local events, the Chamber events. We're really excited to be partnering with the El Segundo Police Officers Association this year for the 21st annual Downtown Main Street Car Show on August 18th.
Mm.
And Jackie will be sending you info on that because you are so awesome about hosting our things coming up. And, of course, there are art walks and all kinds of good stuff happening. So check out elsegundochamber.com and also our Facebook page to keep up to date on all the good stuff happening.
All right.
All right.
Joe, any final questions?
Well, I'm excited about what the direction is. I look forward to those artist renderings of that huge walk over the PCH. I'm really looking forward to that.
I've made a note.
I wanted to ask you about that, Marcia. I know that you used to have a shuttle that would go from the east side to the west side at lunchtime for all of the office workers up in the Sepulveda area. Do you still have that?
We sure do. It's the lunchtime shuttle. It runs every day from Monday through Friday. That's also on the city's website at elsegundo.org. We have a link on our website as well. And it's a great way to jump on the shuttle, run downtown, grab a great lunch, and head back and bring your friends. It's a great service.
Jackie, we've been posting that a little bit more on Facebook, trying to get a regular post out there so that people will know. And we're talking to the managers of the Pacific Corporate Towers, those three large towers, and encouraging their employees. There's a stop right out on Grand and PCH, and they can jump on the shuttle and come to our downtown, and absolutely free. And it's a great way to transport without having to worry about any parking or anything like that, and come and have lunch and then go back to the office.
And that's and that's strictly lunchtime, lunchtime shuttle.
It is from 11
okay.
to 2.
11 to 2. Yeah, I had posted about it a while back, and I hadn't seen anything on it recently. So I will post something again on that. It's a great
fantastic.
Amenity. That's a fantastic amenity.
Thank you. Yeah.
And as you said, you've always had several good restaurants in your downtown, but you have a couple of new ones going on. So,
yeah,
you know,
we do, and more to come.
If you haven't been there in a while, there's new stuff you haven't seen, so you got to try it out. So, Joe, you want to take us home here?
Yes, we will. And Jay, how do we pronounce your last name?
It's Heschler, and thank you for asking.
Heschler.
Jay Heschler.
Heschler, okay.
Sorry, I strangled it.
It's all right.
Heschler.
You're not
thank
the first.
Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. We're excited about the beautification efforts for downtown El Segundo and all the beautiful neighborhoods in El Segundo. What a great place to live and grow and work. Please join us in all of the beautiful neighborhoods of the South Bay. It's going to be a great week and weekend. We have a great show coming up tomorrow. Thank you, Barbara Voss, for joining us today.
You're welcome. A pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And thank you, Marcia Hansen, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us and for all you all do for the South Bay.
And thank you, Jay Heschler, for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here. And glad to be an El Segundo resident.
Yes, yes. Absolutely wonderful place. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. And Jackie, who are we having on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're having Ken Heerer from the Cosmont Companies on to talk about a lot of stuff.
Right.
He's going to be a speaker at the Economic Forum, Manhattan Beach Chambers Economic Forum. So we're going to have him on. We're going to get a sneak preview of what he's going to discuss.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye now.